Welcome everyone to How to End Email Overwhelm Forever Without Taking Time Away from Your Most Important Leadership Work. I'm your host, Justin Bader with the Principal Center. And if you are overwhelmed by email, either all the time or on a regular basis or at certain predictable kind of crunch times, the first thing that I want you to know as we get started today is that you are normal. That you are absolutely in the majority if you get way too much email, right? And this was me, not an actual photo, but a good depiction of what it was like for me when I moved from my previous role into the role of principal. See, I had been what was called a head teacher. It's kind of a dean of students type of role. And I was very interested in productivity and keeping up with the demands of that job. And I had read lots of books on productivity, like Getting Things Done by David Allen. And I was pretty on top of things in that head teacher role because I knew a lot of my success and people's valuing me in that role was my ability to follow through and get back with people and, you know, do what I was there to do, which often was, you know, support students or deal with issues that came up or provide some sort of kind of logistical support for teachers. I knew I needed to be responsive to be valuable and to make a difference. But when I moved into the principalship, this hit me pretty hard, right? How many people has it hit you pretty hard when you move into a new role? Have you ever had this happen where you think, okay, I'm ready for this. The job might be challenging, but it catches you off guard, just the sheer amount of email you get in a new role. I don't know if that's true for you, if you've experienced that yet in your career, but I have to tell you, it hit me hard when I became a principal. And I realized pretty quickly as I talked to my peers about this in Seattle Public Schools that it wasn't just me, that this is normal for principals to get an insane amount of email. So it is no surprise to me that you are here, that this is a popular topic, and that this is a common set of challenges. Eloisa says, yes. Give me a yes in the chat if you get too many emails. And now I don't know how many you get, and I'm sure we'll see quite a range, but do you get too many emails? Let me know if that is a common problem in your professional, you know, and I'm not talking about your personal email account where like every store you've ever bought something from emails you twice a day to buy more stuff. I'm talking about work emails. Do you get too many? Dean says yes. Jennifer says yes. Chris says yes. Gregory says absolutely. Yeah. So please know you are not alone. This is completely normal. This is the nature of the job that you are the center of attention for a whole lot of people. We'll talk about that asymmetry issue in just a little bit. But I thought we would actually put some numbers to this. So what I'd like you to do is grab your phone or switch over to your inbox for just a second. Now, don't get sucked into your inbox, but go look right now if you don't mind and tell me how many emails are in your inbox right now. Just go check real quick. Don't get pulled in. Don't get to answering people because we want to make good use of our time together. Kimberly says 431. Chris says 8. And Chris, I know your secret. Brian says 2,706. Christina says 1,132. Go check if you haven't checked yet. Shannon's pretty on top of it with 50. Amy says 61. Loretta says 20. Transitioning, the new one. Yeah, if you're starting a new role or you know, moving to a new organization, yeah, it's nice to start with that fresh. John says, too embarrassed to share. Yeah, I know that feeling for sure. Brian says, I was at 0 this morning at one point. Stephanie says 50. All right, if you haven't checked, go check and just type in the number. You know, we won't do a background check. We will not tell your boss or your spouse. And yeah, there's those flagged emails. 4,000 plus, 2,600, 2,900. Okay, yeah, go check. Let us know in the chat. I'll keep an eye on that. All of these numbers, here's the thing. All of these numbers are normal. There's a huge range in how many emails people keep around. You saw some people have 0. Some people have thousands upon thousands. Does anybody have over 10,000 emails in their inbox? Let me know if you have, maybe you don't even want to check. If you know you have over 10,000, just say yep in the chat and let us know. All of these are normal numbers because there are so many different approaches to handling email. And I asked this question because, not just because I wanted your participation, but because I wanted you to know that whatever your number is, you are not alone. There are people who get their email down to 0 every day, people who have the same job you do, and there are people who haven't seen the bottom of their inbox for years. So I want you to know that, again, this is normal, but also that it is solvable, that it is completely possible, no matter what your job is, to get your inbox under control. And I know that that is the truth because I've seen tons and tons and tons of people do it. And you've seen people just in the comments here answering that, yeah, their inbox is under control. And it's not that they have one of those cushy jobs where nobody ever bugs them and they get to get all their work done every single day. I promise all of the people who just said zero or, you know, zero earlier today, or they shared a single digit number, they have jobs that are just as demanding and difficult as you do. But what they have that's different is a system for keeping up with that work. And of course, your system has to change when your job changes. As I mentioned just a minute ago, when I moved into the principalship, I realized I was going to have to come up with a different approach because I was suddenly accountable to far more people. And here's the thing, like, it would be a lot easier to stay caught up if it weren't for all those other darn people, right? If there weren't so many people out there who need a piece of you, who need some of your time, who are wondering if you've got a minute, who value your attention. And if you are a school leader, your attention is valuable. There are lots and lots of people who want and need your time and attention. And it's different from being in a different role. Like, if you're a classroom teacher, you have a fixed set of people who potentially need your time and attention. You've got your colleagues, maybe the people on your team, your administrators, and then the parents of the students in your class. And that's probably kind of a fixed number of people. Even if they email you a lot, it's not, you know, 1,000 people or 5,000 people emailing you. But if you are a principal, you very well could have 1,000 people emailing you on a regular basis. And I know that sounds like a crazy number, but it's not. That is absolutely what is happening for a lot of people. If you are an assistant principal, you probably have a fairly high volume of email that needs to be dealt with, not just at some point, but today. I want to acknowledge the special challenge that assistant principals have when you're dealing with, say, discipline or some sort of other kind of day-to-day operational issue. Part of dealing with day-to-day issues is that they need to be dealt with that day, right? You know, like, you can't follow up on a discipline issue 3 days after it happens. You have to deal with it immediately. So I know that the real-time nature of email is especially pressing for assistant principals. But for principals, you have not only, you know, those day-to-day responsibilities, but you have this huge range of stakeholders. You've got the district staff, you've got vendors and salespeople who want to get a hold of you. You've got, parents and, you know, teachers emailing. You've got just so many different things coming in that way. And if you're in a central office role, you may even have a different form of, you know, kind of asymmetry. I remember I was in the office of our executive director of curriculum and instruction, my friend Kathy, when I was in Seattle many years ago. I was in her office one day and she was sitting there answering some emails, or maybe we were waiting for somebody else to join us for a meeting. And I saw she had like 400 emails in her inbox. And I said, Kathy, are you behind on email or what's going on there? And she said, no, this is just my everyday. I just get like 400 emails a day. And I said, do you mean you get like 400 emails, you know, from like, you know, mailing lists and newsletters and things? And she's like, no, these are mostly principals who are emailing you. It was mostly like district people sending her real emails every single day. And I know that if that's your world, by the way, if you're in a central office role and that is kind of the reality that you're dealing with, give me a me in the chat. If you'll just type me, let me know that that is what you are dealing with. So the scale of this challenge varies from person to person, but it is a common challenge. And whatever level of challenge you are facing, again, you're not alone, and there is an opportunity to put into place a better system. So let me ask you for another number here. If you had to estimate, how many emails do you get a day? You know, typical school day, we're not talking about weekends or summer vacation, we're talking about typical school day. When school is in session, what's a typical number for you? Kate says 100 to 150, Debbie says 150, Nick says 175, Peggy 100 plus. Okay, lots of people getting in the, you know, 100 to 200 range or the 50 to 100 range. Good deal. Rodney says 80 plus. Dean says 100-ish. Yeah, so these are pretty normal numbers for school administrators, and especially for principals, it's easy for that number to tip over 100. This is a big challenge, and it is not going to get smaller anytime soon. So that's kind of the bad news. But the good news, that, you know, the flip side of that is that we do have some opportunity here. We do not have to simply be passive recipients of email. As leaders, we can take some control of this situation and do something about it to set ourselves up for success. So if you've been thinking, you know, this cannot be the way that it has to be, right? Like, surely there is a better way, then you're absolutely right. There are some things that we can do. And the people who said earlier that they have 0 or 10 emails in their inbox right now, I promise you, they still go to sleep at night. They're not pulling an all-nighter every night to stay caught up with email. They're not robots who type 1,000 words a minute. You know, they are real people just like you, but the difference is that they have a system for keeping it under control. And I'm going to do my best to give you some of the highest leverage elements of effective systems for handling email right now in this webinar. I want to start with probably the most challenging statement that I will make, and that is that it is possible to get down to 0 emails, and not just once over summer vacation or the holiday break, not just once when everybody's out of the building, not just, you know, in the middle of the night when you turn off the email server so no one else can email you. This is possible. It is possible to get 0 emails in your inbox on a regular and consistent basis. There was one of our members, chief academic officer named Scott, wrote to me a while back and said, I got to inbox 0 for the first time ever in my career this past week, and I've kept it there ever since by following your protocol for managing email. So some of the things I'm going to share with you in just a moment. I can't believe, Scott says, how much time I've freed up today. I actually found myself with free time to work on items in a proactive way, something I typically don't get much of during the workday. Just thought I'd share. All right, so what Scott has experienced, he has experienced as the result of installing systems and habits in his work. But what most people are doing with email is neither a system nor a habit. What most people do is they just grab a device, they pick up a device, and they kind of check their email. And they're like, oh, that's interesting. They kind of scroll, they kind of pick and click. And not having a system is a great way to make sure that you never get caught up. So I want to give you a system. If I give you a system, let's make a little bit of a deal here. If I give you a system that will work and that has worked for other people, would you do it? Like, would that be useful to you? But here's the thing. The reason I'm asking you to make a commitment to yourself here is that if all I share is some tips and you think, okay, that's interesting, but you don't implement a system, then nothing is really going to change. So if I give you a system, will you implement it? I want you to make a commitment to yourself. And our first action item is going to be coming up in just a minute here. So let me know in the chat. Give me a yes if you are willing to make changes to your system. Okay, I wasn't sure if I'd get any yeses, but we've got lots and lots of yeses here. People are willing to make a change. All right, and here is one of the first changes that I think we've got to make. This one's just a mental shift, so this one's easy. I want you to shift from seeing email as an all-purpose Swiss Army knife kind of productivity tool and dashboard and container and bucket for all of the stuff that's in your world, all of those different purposes that we currently use email for. I want you to transform that into just one singular purpose for email so that you see email as just a communication tool. That's it. Email is just a communication tool, nothing more and nothing less. A simple mental shift that you can make right this very moment. But what you have to do to make that shift is you have to agree with yourself that you're not going to use email as a permanent filing cabinet. Your inbox cannot simply be the storage unit for all of the information that you have ever received on the job. Now, that's a pretty easy shift to make, right? To agree that your email inbox is not a storage unit, right? It's just kind of an agreement that you make with yourself. It's kind of like thinking about your kitchen table, right? If you ever are working at home, you might use your kitchen table to hold your laptop. Maybe you do a puzzle with your family after dinner. You do that on the kitchen table. You probably eat dinner at your kitchen table. You might do a craft project on the weekend with your family at the kitchen table. But if you try to use your kitchen table for everything and keep that puzzle there and keep that craft project there and keep your laptop there and keep dinner there, it's going to be a mess, right? Well, that is exactly how most people use their email inbox. They use it like that kitchen table where it's just the default place for everything. You know, if you want your kitchen table to be usable for dinner, you've got to be willing to clean it off and find more appropriate places for all the stuff that accumulates on it. And this didn't really hit me hard until I became a principal. And I wish somebody had given me a little bit of a heads up about this. They gave me a cake, but they didn't give me an instruction manual for being a principal. I remember stepping into that new role and being so excited. Maybe if you've moved into a new organization, you've gotten that first, like, your account has been activated, welcome to the district kind of email. You remember getting that email and it's like your only email, and it feels great because you can just read it and smile and, you know, get rid of it, and then you don't have any more email. But that might be the last time you have felt that feeling of relief of having nothing in your inbox. And pretty soon, the email norms for that role, you know, the expectations that people in that organization have for you start to arrive one by one in your inbox. And as I transitioned from a head teacher into a principalship, I realized that the expectations were night and day when it came to email. I realized that lots and lots of people were going to email me every single day. There was going to be a degree of overwhelm just inherent to the job. And I was going to have to figure out how to handle that. What I had to shift in my mind from as a head teacher, into the principalship, I had to shift from this idea that I was going to take an equal amount of time to just thoughtfully and perfectly respond to every single email, which is what I did as a head teacher. I wanted to be responsive, but as a principal, I realized if I was going to be effective in my job, email could not be my job. I did not owe every single person who wanted to send me a message the amount of time that that person was asking for. Right? Because people will take and take and take and take. If you agree to get on the phone with every salesperson who wants to sell your organization something, you will have no time left for instructional leadership, right? So we have got to triage. We have got to prioritize. And getting through the inbox does not mean making everybody who ever emails you happy. It means getting through your inbox so you can get current and then get back to work. And I actually have a whole section on this. I think I've got the book here. In Now We're Talking 21 Days to High Performance Instructional Leadership, I have a whole section on getting current so you can get into classrooms. If you look at chapters 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, they're all about getting current on your work, not so that you can get all of it done before you get into classrooms, but just so that you can get caught up and be aware of what is on your plate and have a sense of what you're leaving behind when you do go get into classrooms. All right, so here are the three secrets that we are going to explore today. These are somewhat counterintuitive. They might seem impossible to you. And what I would ask you to do is suspend disbelief a little bit. And the other people who are here and commenting might help with that, because you'll see that some of this is already in place for a lot of people. First, the power of zero. Second, decisional minimalism, a very simple philosophy that you can apply right away. And third, we have to agree to fight the asymmetry that we face in our roles. All right, so I asked before how many emails were in your inbox right now, and people answered numbers varying from zero to, you know, thousands and thousands. And I have a question for you now. This is not a go check your inbox, but this is a philosophical question, so everybody is equally prepared to answer it. How many emails belong in your inbox? And a lot of people say, well, once I'm done with them, none of them really belong there, but I'm just leaving them there until I'm done with them. Right? A lot of people say zero. Yeah, Christy says zero. I've got a little bit of a hint on the screen about my thoughts on this. Can anybody guess what my belief around this question is? All right, Johnny says five or six of those need to be there right now. Gregory says zero. Mindy says zero. Yeah, you may have a few that you're planning to follow up on right away. So you might think, well, I purposefully didn't get rid of those. Those five or six emails are there for a reason. Absolutely. But long term, how many belong there? How many emails are permanent residents in your inbox? Rodney says zero, Tara says zero, Jody says zero. That too is my belief, that ultimately zero emails belong in your inbox. I like to think of it, actually I got this idea from Frank Buck, author of Get Organized, a terrific book on time management for school leaders. Frank says your inbox should really just be an inbox. You would never go out to the curb and check your mailbox at home, your U.S. Postal Service, or, you know, whatever country you're in, your Postal Service mailbox. You would never go out and check that and kind of flip through all your mail, see if you got any bills, see if you got any cards, and then look at it all and then stuff it back in the mailbox. You would never do that, right? We would never leave it all there, because what's the purpose of the inbox? Let me know in the chat. What's the purpose of the inbox? Why do we even have an inbox? You know, it really is basically there. Yeah, I do it with my I would do that with my inbox at school sometimes, because it is tempting to just, you know, kind of walk away. But I know for a fact that at home, you bring in all of your mail, right? You never leave any of it in the mailbox, right? Gregory says the purpose is simply to receive new communication, right? And the really nice thing about your inbox is you don't have to be there like with your hand outstretched to receive whatever somebody else is sending you, right? The inbox is there all the time collecting stuff so that you can come and get it whenever you decide that it's a good time for you. But it's not a file cabinet, right? It's not a permanent storage unit for all of that stuff. And here's the really crucial thing. It is not your workspace. It is not where you will actually do the work. But because your inbox can be the full screen thing on your computer, it's tempting to see it that way. In fact, we kind of default to seeing the inbox as our kind of catch-all Swiss Army knife, all-purpose productivity dashboard. We default to using it that way. And some apps like, you know, Microsoft Outlook really even wants you to think of it that way. But that is not the best way to handle it. So let me give you a different vision for your inbox, if I may. I want you to get to zero emails in your inbox every single day. And not just once a day, but multiple times a day. In fact, every time you sit down to check your email, I want you to be able, if you so choose, to get to zero emails in your inbox. And what I'm not going to suggest is that you simply sort all of those messages into folders. We're not talking about sorting here. In fact, we'll talk about sorting in just a second, but we're talking about actually getting rid of these emails so that you never have to kind of reread them and make another decision and just kind of go check and click and check and click over and over and over again, because we know that doesn't work. We know those will sit around forever. So if you want to get to zero, you might be thinking, well, today I have 4,000 emails in my inbox. This would be nice, but how am I ever going to get there? I said I would give you an opportunity to make some huge progress right while we're on the webinar today. So I want to share with you my strategy for declaring email bankruptcy. Do you remember, if you watch The Office, you know, with Michael Scott, I'm sure you remember the scene where he's getting into some financial trouble and he just decides to declare bankruptcy. So he walks out into the office and yells, "I declare bankruptcy." And, you know, then his coworkers have to tell him, "Michael, that's not how you do it. That doesn't really work." But what we can do today, lots of Office fans here, wonderful. What we can do today is we can declare a form of email bankruptcy. But I see a lot of people wanting to do this and talking about how they might do it, you know, in Facebook posts and things like that. There are just a couple of things that you can do that will make a big difference and allow you to start fresh today. Now, here is what we are going to do. So first of all, don't delete everything. That is going to be incredibly stressful. I know sometimes people like to take dramatic action. They just say, well, I'm just going to declare bankruptcy on my email, delete it all, start fresh, boom. Please don't do that. Do not do that, because most people are afraid to do that, and rightly so. I was reading an article by one person one time who needed to just get rid of a bunch of physical stuff and just threw out some boxes without opening them. And of course, one of those boxes had her birth certificate in it. And the same thing is probably going to happen to you if you delete all of your email just to get a fresh start. You don't want to do that. So here's a much safer way to declare email bankruptcy and get a fresh start right now. Here's what you do. Create a new folder or a new tag. If you're using Gmail or G Suite, make it a tag, and that makes it even easier. If you're using Outlook or something else where you have folders, just make a folder and call it email bankruptcy, and then the month and year. And all you have to do is simply take all of the emails that are in your inbox and move them to that folder. And if you're using Gmail, archive them. So add them to that tag and then archive them. Or if you're using a folder-based system, just drag them to that folder and you'll have zero emails in your inbox. And you might say to yourself, well, Justin, if I do that, then I'll lose track of them. I won't know which ones I've dealt with and which ones I haven't. And I have two things to say about that. Number one, if you had 4,000 or 6,000 or 10,000 emails in your inbox, I hate to break it to you, but you have already lost track of what is there. You might have mental track of what's on the first page. If so, go back into that folder once you move everything into it and deal with those recent emails so that you don't mentally lose track of them. But that's the first thing. Number one, you've probably already lost track of a lot of those emails. And number two, if you need to go through those emails that you have not gone through yet, the ones that were still in your inbox, that were pending some sort of review or action on your part, guess what? The good news is they're still there. You can go back through those emails, check that folder, email bankruptcy that you create right now, and you will find all of those messages, and they're distinguished from other messages that you've dealt with more decisively, because those emails are not going to be in this folder, right? You've archived them already, or you've deleted them, you've done something with them. So if you do this, if you create that folder and move everything to it, you will have a fresh start right now. Now, I need a couple of brave volunteers. Now, here's the thing. If you decide that this was crazy and you're not going to go for it, this is completely reversible, right? If you get off this webinar and you think, wait a minute, what was I doing? Now, I don't think you're going to feel that way, because you're going to feel great to have zero emails in your inbox. But if I'm wrong, if you panic and decide to put them all back in your inbox for some reason, this is completely reversible. You can just undo or drag and drop, put them back in your inbox. But I need a couple of volunteers who are willing to do this right now. So make a folder. Go to your email. Don't get sucked into answering it. Make a folder right now. Title it Email Bankruptcy, and then the month and year, and move every single message in your inbox into that folder. Do I have a volunteer who would be willing to be our guinea pig? I'm hoping every single person on this webinar does this, because it feels awesome. And it feels a little bit, you'll feel a little bit nervous about it. And that's a good feeling. I'll tell you how to deal with that nervous feeling in just a second. All right, Kimberly is going to go for it. Thank you, Kimberly. Dean is doing it now. Samuel's doing it now. All right, let me know if you are doing that right now. If you have a question for me, go ahead and ask in the chat. Gregory is doing it right now. I will wait. I need a drink of water anyway. Yeah, Lillian says doing it now, and I'm freaking out. Brian says doing it now. Yes. So do you move everything, including the ones already answered? Yes. So we're just, basically, they're going to stay in the same situation they are in your inbox. We're just going to get them out of your inbox. Okay? Don't delete them. Don't delete the whole folder when you're done. You know, keep the emails. Just move them out of your inbox and into that folder. And if you want to go back through that folder yesterday, if you say, okay, well, I really need to get back to those people, I'm going to check that folder after the webinar. Absolutely. Go for it. You absolutely can do that. You may have to say select all emails in this folder. If you have more than one page, you might have to do like a select all. And then there might be a second option in your email program that says really select all, because this is like thousands of messages. It might take a couple of minutes. Stephanie's doing it now. Eloise is doing it now. Shannon's doing it now. Peggy's doing it now. Nick says done. Excellent. William says done. Willie's done. Excellent. All right. Now, if you haven't done it yet, go ahead and do it. And then let me know, how does it feel? Anka's doing it now. Great to see you, Anka. How does it feel? Now, I said you would probably feel a little bit nervous. Like, you probably have a few things that you're thinking, well, I need to go back and deal with those. Absolutely. Go ahead after this webinar, go ahead and check back through those emails, see if there are some people you needed to get back to, and do what you normally do with your inbox with that folder. But moving forward from this moment on, I want to challenge you to have a completely different relationship with what is in your inbox. And I want you to take a completely different approach to that inbox. Yeah, Nick says lasted 2 minutes. Nick, did you already get some more emails? Laura says, it's still loading. Yeah, sometimes your computer might take a minute to catch up if you move all of these at once. All right, now, when a new message comes in, I want you to have a completely different relationship with it. Rather than saying to yourself, that email is going to stay there forever, or it's going to stay there until I'm done with it, I want you to see it as new communication. And I want you to be ready to make a decision about what to do with it. And that brings us to our second key. By the way, we'll do any kind of questions or concerns you have about this. We will definitely come back to those at the end. So please keep those questions in mind or ask them in the chat here, and I'll be happy to deal with those. Remember, this is completely reversible. If you change your mind after this webinar, just move them all back, right? You're not mixing them in with all the emails you know that you have dealt with. You've got them in a separate folder. Put them back in your inbox if you want to, but I don't think you will. Gregory says, praise the Lord, at zero in the inbox. Doesn't it feel amazing to know that, like, if you see something come in, you'll be able to notice it? It won't just be one more piece of clutter on top of a huge pile of clutter. Trust me, it will feel amazing. And here is how you can stay on top of that as we move forward. Key number two is decisional minimalism. I see questions like this all the time in principal Facebook groups. Jen was asking, high school principal, I use Outlook for email and I'd like to archive important emails into folders. I'm finding I have so many folders, it's cumbersome. Can you share your email organization system? Jen was asking, and 16 people had replied. Somebody else said, I'm asking for myself. This is a separate post. I'm asking for myself because I know, no one else has this problem, but how do you organize your email? What is your daily email protocol? How do you file them? What do you keep? What do you delete? Thanks in advance. Okay. So what these two people were recognizing is that dealing with email, even if you're done with it, can give you lots of decisions to make. Think about one email that you get about testing accommodations for ELL students with IEPs when it comes to your district's benchmark math test. And a teacher is asking because she is concerned that it's going to affect her evaluation. You get that email, you answer the email, and now you have to decide where to put the email from the teacher. And you've got these folders. You've come up with the perfect system of folders for handling your emails. And you think to yourself, okay, testing accommodations for district benchmark math assessments for ELL students with IEPs. Where do I put that? Do I put that under assessments or math? Probably not under teacher evaluations. Do I put that under SPED or ELL? Where do I put it? I've got lots of options here, right? And I don't want to copy it. If you're using Gmail, you can apply multiple tags. But what we're essentially doing here when we file our emails this way is we are giving ourselves decisions that we do not need to make. We do not need to actually decide, does this email need to go in the SPED folder or the math folder or the assessment folder? It does not matter. All we have to do is get it out of the inbox. And Samuel says, yeah, I hate dealing with all the folders. Absolutely. All you need really is one folder. And if you're a Gmail user, you know they encourage you not to really think in terms of folders. Anyway, just archive your message. If you have a button to archive, just archive it. And if you don't have a button to archive, just make a folder that's called archive and archive it. A couple of questions here that are relevant to this. Lillian says, I made a tag, but my inbox still has a number. Yeah, so if you've applied the tag to all the messages in your inbox, then that tag should show the message count. If your inbox still shows the message count, select all and hit archive, and that should get them out of there. Let's see, another question. How do you drag the inbox into a new folder? So leave the inbox itself where it is, make a new folder, and then select all messages, and then either drag them in there or hit the archive button, whatever you do in your program. But what we're going to do here is, yeah, oh, and Brian's saying auto send and archive is a great feature to use on Gmail. Yeah, you can actually set Gmail to archive the message whenever you reply to it. There's a separate button for that. I use that all the time. Brian, thanks for mentioning that. So decisional minimalism is all about saying, you know what? I don't need all of these folders. All I need is one place that's not my inbox, just like you might bring in all your mail from the mailbox. You might throw most of it in a box. You need a box that can hold stuff without you having to make a whole ton of decisions. And in fact, if you go back and read some of the emails that you've received from me in the past, you might have seen the chronological file. The chronological file is a system that I have, just a big box that you can throw your mail in when you're done with it. And if you need to find it, it is there. But for email, it's much, much simpler. All you have to do is archive. And if you need to find something, search. Because here's the thing about all those folders. If you put something in a folder, not only do you have to make a decision now, you're also going to have to reconstruct that decision later when you need to go find that thing. So you're going to have to say to yourself, wait a minute, did I put that in the SPED folder or the assessment folder or the math folder? Because that was about SPED accommodations for math assessment. So where does that go? You don't want to have to make that decision, not only on the front end, but also later when you're looking for it. So just archive and search for it if you ever need it later. The second major point that I have here on decisional minimalism that can make your life much, much easier when it comes to email is around deleting. People get nervous about deleting things because we think, well, I might need that later. I might need to look this up. I might need to have documentation of this later. And there was a time when there was a cost to saving things, right? And there was a benefit, there was a value to deleting things because you'd free up that space. I realized a couple of years ago that I was getting almost no benefit from freeing up that space because the cost of email storage was so tiny that it was just not worth making all those extra decisions. So just the extra step of deleting to me is not even worth it. If you never delete another email again for the rest of your life, I'm pretty sure you will be okay. And if you're in a district where they're very restrictive about how much space you get, you can complain. Like, chances are you outrank the tech people who make those decisions. You can ask for more space. And if you really need to, you can delete things over the summer or move them to an offline folder or something like that. But really, you should not be deleting emails on a day-to-day basis. It's just a decision you don't need to make. All right, so that is number two, decisional minimalism. Number one was email does not belong in your inbox long-term. That was the power of zero. Let's move on to our third counterintuitive key now, which is that we need to fight asymmetry head on. So I have a question for you while I get a drink of water here. Who currently emails you? Tell me some of the people in the chat who email you. Just let me know who emails you on a regular basis. All right, Charles says everyone. Yeah. Yeah. Who specifically emails you? Teachers, faculty, parents, spam, colleagues, parents, vendors. Absolutely. Your wife, your husband, your spouse, maybe your own kids, if your kids are old enough to email you. Everyone and their relatives and friends, the district office, the superintendent, other principals, textbook reps, lots of education organizations, lots and lots and lots of people email you. I made a list for myself. One thing that I've noticed lately for my own inbox is that I get a lot of email that's not even from a person. It's like an automated notification from some sort of system. That stuff really builds up very, very quickly and creates a lot of clutter that it's hard to keep up with. So you've got lots and lots of people who want a piece of you. Would you like some strategies for fighting some of that asymmetry? The reason I call this asymmetry is that there's only one of you, right? There are hundreds of parents in your school. There are dozens of teachers. There are maybe hundreds of students. Maybe the students don't email you, but you know, there are lots of stakeholders within your school community. And here is the infinite part of this asymmetry. There is an infinite, or for all practical purposes, infinite number of people in the world who would like to sell you stuff. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who would like to sell you stuff. And they know you have money. They know if you're a principal, you have a budget to deal with. So it's lucrative for them to email you. Samuel's asking, is it worth taking the time to unsubscribe? I believe it is. I believe it absolutely is. We'll go ahead and tackle that right now, and I'll circle back to what I was going to say next. It is absolutely worth the time to unsubscribe, because if you don't, what are those people going to do? They are going to email you, some of them once a month, some of them once a week, some of them every day. Right? If you're on my mailing list, I will email you almost every day. And down at the bottom, you will see I have if you're not interested in this topic, click here to mute it, and I will stop emailing you about that topic. And of course, if you don't want to be on my email list, I don't want to email you, you know, messages that you don't want. So unsubscribe does work. What will happen sometimes is you will be in multiple different systems from the same vendor. Like, we have a social network that we use at the Principal Center. So if that thing is sending you emails, that's a separate system. But I promise this is an investment of time that only takes a second, but it will pay off, because you know that person is going to keep emailing you if you don't. I got an email the other day from Goodreads. I like using Goodreads to keep track of the books I'm reading. I don't really need to get emails from them. I don't really need to get emails from Starbucks. So I just unsubscribe. And the law says that if you tell a vendor to stop emailing you, they have to do it. Right, the CAN-SPAM Act does allow them to put you on their mailing list without permission. A lot of people don't know that. They can put you on their mailing list whether you want to be or not, but they do have to honor your request. That's U.S. law if you're in Canada or somewhere else. There may be different laws, but you know, pretty much everywhere in the world, they have to stop emailing you if you ask. If you are dealing with a salesperson, you're going to have to say, please stop contacting me. And you can even make yourself a little shortcut, a little canned message that says, not interested, please stop contacting me, that kind of thing. And I want you to know, when it comes to salespeople in particular, that salespeople are being trained now to contact you through LinkedIn, through email, through the phone, through, you know, personal messages, through newsletters. There are all these like multi-touch, multimedia campaigns that salespeople are being trained to use now to get in touch with you. And they are relentless. Like, the typical sales sequence now is between 10 and 20 messages. And that's if you have not expressed any interest whatsoever. So you can expect if somebody says, hey, I'd really like to set up a demo and walk you through our solution. If they ping you about that and you are not interested, you can count on them following up with you 15 to 20 more times. That is just the standard training for vendors and for salespeople now. So do not hesitate to fight that asymmetry by unsubscribing or just tell people to leave you alone. Give yourself a little shortcut to do that. Because if you don't, they will still, you know, there's very little cost in them continuing to bug you. So they will do it if you do not unsubscribe. So unsubscribe. Second tip for fighting that asymmetry. You've got so many people who need some of your time or want some of your time. Keep your responses brief. And if you can't keep your response brief, maybe this should not be an email, right? And I personally, I will tell you, I have been guilty of this where I get a very delicate email. I think, okay, I need to be very careful how I respond to this. I need to make sure that I, you know, go point by point and really just choose my words very carefully here. And before I know it, I've spent an hour answering one email. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever spent an hour answering one email? Give me a yes in the chat if that has happened to you. Let me know. Yes, Brian says. Maria says yes. Lots of yeses. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes, and so maybe that email might have only taken the other person 30 seconds or 2 minutes to write, right? If you cannot answer the email quickly, maybe it does not need to be an email. Maybe it needs to be a phone call. My friend Larry Fliegelman, who's a principal in New England, adopted this approach many years ago. And you can find the text for this at 5.sentence.es. You can see it on the screen here. This is a little website that's been around forever to help people save time with their email. It's basically a personal rule that says, I will never write an email that is longer than 5 sentences. And you can also set it to 2 or 3 or 4. Basically, it's a personal rule that says, you know what? I'm not going to spend all day writing emails. If I need to talk to someone, I'm going to pick up the phone and talk to them, or we can, you know, set up a quick meeting if we need to, but I'm not going to write 2,000 word emails that take me an hour to put together. It's just not worth the time. And often it's not the best way to handle the situation. Maybe we need to just offer to set up a meeting or offer to set up a call. And if the person really, you know, if it's serious to them, they'll set up that time. But we can fight that asymmetry. I call this getting the other person to put some skin in the game, right? It's very easy for someone to complain quickly and say, hey, blah, 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 I need you to do this. You need to get, you know, this taken care of for me. That person only spends 30 seconds sending the email, but it might take us an hour to reply. Well, that's a perfect opportunity to say, hey, I agree. This is a really important issue. Let's set up a time to talk about it. When is good for you? And you can even make yourself a little template that will send that very quickly. You don't have to type it out. You can give them a link to your calendar. And if they are prepared to spend the time to deal with that issue with you, then they've put some skin in the game and you've dealt with that asymmetry. And you're getting out of that trap of somebody briefly, very quickly and efficiently giving you lots of work that's going to take you forever to do. All right, so that is what I have for you on asymmetry. Keep those responses brief. You know, get the other person to pick up the phone or you know, invest some of their time if they really need a piece of your time. And of course, if you have if you're on mailing lists, unsubscribe. Johnny, one tool that I use for that is, I personally use Schedule Once. A lot of people use Calendly, and you can be kind of selective about who you share that link with. You might have a different link for staff and parents. You might have different times a day. Lots of ways to do that, though. I personally would recommend Calendly. Let me know if you use a service like that. Let me know what service you use to give people your calendar. I personally use Schedule Once. I think that's a great tool, very customizable. And I never have to say, hey, when can you meet? I just send people a calendar link and they, Shannon uses Calendly. Yeah, good deal. Lots of good options there. Okay, so here's what I want you to think about. If you can get your inbox empty, or if you've already gotten your inbox empty, except, you know, for the emails that have come in the last couple of minutes, if you get your inbox to zero, and if you implement decisional minimalism and stop sorting emails into folders and stop trying to categorize things, but just archive them, get them out of your inbox, and just start using email as a communication tool and start to level that playing field and fight that asymmetry that comes from all these people emailing you all the time, can you turn email into just a communication tool that is useful for you, that does not cause so much stress, but is just a time-saving efficiency creator, right? Now, like, think back 40 years ago when they were first designing email. Do you think they ever imagined the ways we would use email today when, you know, the military or whoever was developing the early versions of email? They developed email. The researchers who developed email originally, it's now 40 years old. They developed it because it was more efficient than picking up the phone for certain things. It was more efficient than sending a fax, than scheduling a conference call, than scheduling a meeting, than sending a letter in the physical postal mail. It was designed to be more efficient. And if we take some of these approaches, it can be. But we have to be the ones to decide, this is how email is going to work for me. We have to be the ones as leaders to make that decision. So if you do those things, will email be less stressful for you? Let me know in the chat. Give me a yes in the chat if email would be less stressful and a more effective leadership tool if you had these systems in place. Getting to zero, decisional minimalism, and fighting asymmetry. If you implemented those three counterintuitive email tools, William says yes, Laura says yes, Matthew says yes, Peggy says yes, Kelly says absolutely. Okay, well then let's think about some of the best ways to move forward with that. Let me know in the chat, what is your number one takeaway? All right, way to go, Brian. Brian says finally got to zero. I know some people's inboxes are still refreshing. They're kind of choking under the load of archiving all of those messages. I love it. What is your number one takeaway from our time together so far? Peggy says, my inbox is not my workspace. Yeah, you probably don't stand at your mailbox all day and reach in there and do your work at your mailbox, right? Love it. Let's see. Tina says, don't be afraid to move them out and start fresh. Myra says, 5 sentences or call. Yeah, use your phone if you need to talk to somebody in more depth. Often good not to have to be so careful with your words when everything's going in email. Anka says, moving all emails from the inbox, radical. Yeah, and remember, it's reversible, right? If you decide later that this was not a good idea, you can always move them back, but I think you probably won't. You'll like it. Jennifer says, email is just a tool to receive communication, not a to-do list. Gregory says, my takeaway is to get to zero every day, multiple times a day. Brian says, decisional minimalism, archive, don't decide where to put something. Johnny says, 5-sentence limit. Carla says, unsubscribe. Lisa says, 5 sentences or less, get to zero. Yeah, only a communication tool, love it. Yep, and William, I think this is a great way to think of it. If you put them in a bankruptcy folder and don't go back to them, you are saving them for no reason, right? Like, that's kind of where the proof is in the pudding on this, is like, that's probably what was going to happen anyway, is you're never going to look at them again. But if you need to, you know where they are. Samuel, text messages, great question. We talk about this a little bit in the book, and I talk about this a little bit in the inbox overhaul, but I have to say I am not a fan of text messages in a professional setting. Like, I'm very selective about who I will allow to text me. And, you know, my wife can text me. You might have a few key staff members who text you, but everybody else, I would just say, you know what, please email me and I will get back to you as soon as I can. If you need me more urgently, call the office. There are people who text me like random requests and stuff that I'm not, you know, we don't have that kind of relationship and I just ignore them. Like, I'm just not going to commit to one more inbox. I really need texting to be kept free for, you know, very key people. I'm not a big fan of texting instead of email. I think we needed to just kind of set that norm. Melanie says, bankrupt folder. Yeah, absolutely. So make that folder if you have not. And I guess I would say, Samuel, the reason I feel that way about text messages is so much of what we've talked about here, you can't do with text messages. Like, I just don't want that many text messages because emails, frankly, as big a pain as email can be, it's much easier to handle emails. Like, we have the tools for dealing with a large volume. There's better technology around email. So my question for you as we move forward, are you ready to be done with email overwhelm? Because really, we all have a choice. Every one of us has a choice whether to continue to let things to pile up day after day after day, or to start getting current and to start doing what you do with your physical mailbox at home, which is take everything out of it every day. Are you ready to be done with that overwhelm? Carla says, yes. Are you ready? Let me know in the chat if you are ready to be done with that overwhelm. Steven says, yes. Melody says, yes. Mindy says, yes. Jennifer says, yes. I'm ready. Love it. All right. So here's what you need to do. I'm going to give you kind of a moving forward to-do list or some kind of next steps here. Johnny says, yes, with a lot of S's. Awesome. Number one, use email as a leadership tool. It's not a pain. It is actually a very efficient tool if we use it right. Kelly, I love it. Kelly just cleared out 10,177 emails. So Kelly, you are going to be able to use email as a leadership tool much more effectively from this point on. I love it. Number two, we've got to understand how email is designed. You know, it is designed for asynchronous communication. It's not a workspace. It's a communication tool. It's designed for you to process at certain times of day when you're ready to. And it's designed so that you can quickly get caught up on your communications and get current and be able to focus on whatever work you need to do. So like a big measure of success to me with email is if you can step away from it, right? If you can actually log out or, you know, close the window of your email program, do other work or get away from your computer entirely and do other leadership work, that to me is the true measure of success. What is not a measure of success to me is the person who's on their phone all the time and like they're doing that. Remember BlackBerry? Remember when the BlackBerry first came out? Anybody remember? I'm showing my age here. Does anybody remember when the BlackBerry first came out and like the first person in your organization got a BlackBerry? And what did they do? They did this, right? They did the thumbs thing all the time, right? The CrackBerry. Yeah, absolutely. Peggy says CrackBerry. And why do we call it that? Because people were addicted to answering email the second it came in. That is not what I'm talking about. I am not talking about getting out. Oh yeah, I had a Palm Pilot. Hey, I'll show you my age. I had a Palm Pilot in high school and I would get the little stylus out and tap on the screen. That is not going to work for you. That we are not going to be able to answer all this email with our thumbs. We need to be able to put down the mobile device, use it appropriately. There are certain things that it is, your cell phone is great for, but we need to be able to use the right tool for the job. One of the tools that we didn't have time to talk about today is time shifting. If you ever have an email that you need to deal with, but not right now, like, oh, I need to talk to this person tomorrow. Well, what's going to happen to that email between tonight and tomorrow is it's going to get buried under other emails. And tomorrow, when that person is available for you to pick up the phone and call and speak to and get that issue resolved, that email is going to be buried under so many other messages that you don't see it and you forget about it. So time shifting is a key strategy. If we implement these systems, we can avoid what to me is the number one symptom of the problem, where we really can't put down the phone. And I personally sometimes am this guy, right? But I don't want to be this guy, the guy who is sitting there during family time, maybe on the weekend, maybe you're at a park with your kids and the emails are coming in and you're doing the thumb thing. That is me much. You know, that throughout my career has been me much more than I would like it to be. But what I discovered is that if I have a system for following up on those emails at a time that I choose, I can know with full confidence that I don't have to answer that person now. I don't have to worry about that email slipping onto page 4 of 100 pages of email in my inbox because I've got a system that is going to keep it under control.